There are all kinds of things which are strange, maybe even unbelievable when you first hear them, but they're actually true. Do you know 10,000 birds a year die smashing into windows? Did you know that? 10,000 birds a year die smashing into windows. I always thought they kind of survived that. I can imagine smashing into aeroplanes. That's a bit more gruesome. But anyway, this is the one that some of my family knew already. Another fascinating fact. A cockroach can live for several weeks with its head cut off. For several weeks. I was actually going to bring a live cockroach in this morning, but I couldn't persuade them out of our fridge. So I just left them there with the roast lamb for lunch. But yeah, that's quite a long time. And I know chicken can run around a bit with their heads pulled off because it's kind of a fun thing to do. But if you're a child growing up on a farm, you know. Not as if you're a responsible adult who cares for creation and all those things. But sometimes you do accidentally pull the neck a bit too hard and it pops off. But anyway, cockroaches can live much longer than chicken. They can live a few weeks. You are born with 300 bones, but by the time you're an adult, you have 206. Children, where do they go? Does anybody know where your bones go? Do you guys know? You're clever. Let's go for you.
They connect with each other.
They connect with each other. Is that microphone on, Jim, when it's needed? Is Jim even in the room? Cool. Is this going to work, Jim? Number two. Okay. Say it again, just so everyone can hear.
They connect with each other.
They do. They fuse together. And so you don't really lose any, but some of them kind of join up with others, and particularly the ones in your head, they all kind of combine, and so you get less. Okay. Another fascinating fact, maybe not quite so unbelievable, but slugs. Do you know how many noses slugs have? Three is a good guess, but actually the answer is four. Slugs have four noses. But that's kind of interesting. But what's slightly more interesting is that snails have 14,000 teeth. 14,000 teeth. Like, how much toothpaste would you need for 14,000 teeth? My little electric toothbrush goes for 2 minutes and it goes zzz, zzz, zzz. Tell me I've stopped. Should stop. But yeah, 14,000 teeth to clean every morning. Man. Okay. A giraffe can lick its ears. But you can't. Can you lick your ears, children? Can you try and lick your ears? You can't even lick your elbow. You can try. Maybe some of you are double jointed and you, like sort of Lego men, can swing your arms around like this, and maybe you can eventually get there. This was a bit more unbelievable. Say you got a gold bar the size of a matchbox. Say that was the size of a matchbox. Do you know, because of the way gold is, you could roll it out and roll it out and roll it out with a big roller for a very long time, and you could spread it the size of a tennis court. Imagine the size of a tennis court. So you get a bit of gold the size of a matchbox, and you can spread it out by rolling it. You really can. That's a fascinating fact, but hard to believe. This is kind of fascinating. If you're right-handed, the fingernails on your right hand grow quicker than if you're left-handed. In my case, I'm left-handed, which is a bit weird, actually, in life. But I'm left-handed, and my fingernails on my left hand, apparently, grow faster than my fingernails on my right hand. Something that's hard to believe, but I suppose it's possible to verify. Another thing that's hard to believe, how they can communicate, but the Hawaiian alphabet has only those letters. It only has 12 letters. How many letters does the English alphabet have? Yes. 26, it does indeed. There is actually one extra letter, they call it, which is that one over there, but they don't really count it. But there's 12 or 13 at the absolute most letters in the Hawaiian alphabet. And I'll tell you something else. Children, grow faster in the springtime than at any other season during the year. I didn't actually know that was true, and I kind of tried to check it out, and it seems to be true. Children grow faster in the springtime than any other time of the year. When I used to work on a farm, you used to want spring calves, because spring calves are quite good. They grow well, and also they have grass and all that sort of stuff. But I was thinking, that doesn't really count for humans. We had our children in late spring. Bit of an oversight there. If we'd just had them in February, then they'd have grown tall and strong and powerful and, like, really successful. I was born in August, which is why I'm mostly a failure, and so are most of you. But it's an interesting fact. Grow well, go strong. And now, here was the one that was a real, believe it or not, for me. Hippo milk is pink. Hippo milk is really pink. And shall I tell you something interesting? I actually went to London Zoo yesterday. I really did. And I have brought with me some hippo milk. Here it is. Here is some hippo milk extracted from the udder, or so-called otherwise thing, that a hippo has. So here we have some hippo milk. Now, do any of the children want to sample some hippo milk? There's blood in it and all sorts. I would just check that it's drinkable, because I've never drunk hippo milk before in my life. Have any of you drunk hippo milk before? Apparently there's 500 calories in a small glass of hippo milk. So it's jolly good stuff. Just a little aside for the adults, but it looks a bit like colostrum, which is what cows produce about the first 24 hours after they've given birth. I'll just sip a little bit just to check. Man, that tastes of hippo. It's a little bit leathery. But yeah, it's hippo milk. Let's pour a bit more out. If I put it over here, then I can't be blamed for knocking it over, can I? There we go, it's under there. So I'll let someone sample. I drank from that side. So if someone who hasn't done anything wants to have a little sample of hippo milk, you sure? Your parents are happy with you sampling a bit of hippo milk? Have a go. It'll be fine. The experience will be wonderful. You're not allergic to cow's milk, are you, or anything? No. Okay, just have a go. Ah. I'll do one at the back then. I'm like a germ person, so we've gone this side and this side, so we've got this bit left. You have a question? All right, I'll do your question in just a sec. You can have a little sip if you want, yeah. We are running out of sides now that are clean. Oh my goodness. This is more popular than I would have thought. Oh dear, you're pouring it down his shirt. Okay, Jane, you're the last one. Because you're a relative, I think, I don't really care if you catch something. There we go. I can't remember which sides have been, Oh! Okay, what was the question? I don't know how many strawberries there. It's a good question, though, because maybe that's why it's pink like that. So, hippo's milk is really pink. But was I really telling you the truth, do you think? Was I telling you the truth about it being hippo's milk? Where's my mic gone? You don't reckon? Oh, I so wish it was true. But what sort of questions might you ask? Let's go a little bit further back, because you guys have done a bit already. What sort of questions might you ask if you're thinking, I don't know whether he's telling the truth about that hippo milk thing? I can tell you, by the way, absolutely 100%, it is true that hippo milk is red, pink. That's 100% true, but did I actually get some hippo milk? What might you ask me? No. So why do you think no?
Because you said that hippo milk is red.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I sort of said it was pink, but yeah. You got any ideas? Let me zoom over there. Can't get round very easily. I'm waiting for something profound, Oscar.
How expensive was it?
That's a really good question, actually. To try and test, oh, I wonder if he actually went through that. And then I'd have to stand back and say, £20. And you think, I'm not sure I believe that. What might you ask?
Smell nice.
Oh, you might ask that. Yeah. Anybody else? Any thoughts on what you might ask? Yes?
Did you actually go into the enclosure?
Oh, that's a good question. That's trying to kind of work out whether it's actually true. Did I really go to London Zoo? Yeah, what else might you ask?
Here's something. If you did try and get it from Hippo, I don't think you would be here.
Oh. Could I actually live to tell the tale? That's a good question. There was a hand over here. I'm getting to you.
I,
I want to say that it could be, you could have mixed it with Nesquik chocolate milk.
Ah, okay, alternative theories, that's also good. Yep.
An April Fool joke.
It could be an April Fool joke, although I hate April Fool jokes. And I hate surprise parties as well, just in case anyone wants to throw me one. It will be the day when I'm the most miserable I've ever been in my life if I get thrown a surprise party. Yeah, I don't think you've said anything yet. Josh? What might you ask or what might you investigate?
They won't let you take the hippo milk from the zoo.
They wouldn't let me take the hippo milk? So it's not really, doesn't really seem like it's a true story. And you could ask me lots of questions. You could say, did you really go to, that'll be the last one. Quick question.
It might be strawberry milkshake.
It might be, but it's not. But it's really good that you're thinking of sort of, I'm not sure this is true about that whole he went to London Zoo and got the hippo milk thing. I think some of it is true. He's probably telling the truth when he says hippo milk is pink, but the whole story. So you're asking questions. You're saying, did that really happen? Tell me how you got there, how much you spent for it. You could ask those sort of questions. Did anybody go with you? Did anybody see you with the hippo milk coming out of London Zoo? What was the name of the zookeeper who you got it from? What was the name of the hippo? It was Harvey, by the way. And, you know, what was he like? Was he a big hippo, small hippo? How many hippos were in there? All kinds of things you could ask. And then when you've asked all your questions, you could say, I think there's enough evidence that he really did get some hippo milk. Or, I've got an alternative theory. And your alternative theory could be, I think it's just ordinary milk with some food colouring in. And so then you start to investigate. So you say, Caroline, did he borrow some of your food colouring? To which Caroline would say, no. And then you could ask some of my family. You could say to Charlie and to Amy, did he text this morning rather anxiously asking for some food colouring? And they could say, well, if you want me to be honest, yes, he did actually ask for food colouring. But I didn't see him put the food colouring in the milk, but I think he probably did. And then you could talk to Leslie and Liz and Sue who were in the kitchen, and they saw me put the food colouring in the milk. They probably didn't actually see whether I took it to here, but they had enough evidence to say, he's a liar, he's just making it up. You see, we do that all the time. We work out whether things are true or whether things are not true. And of course, the big question for us this morning, the massive question, much more important than hippo milk and cockroaches and all that other stuff, is, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is it credible? Is it reasonable? Is it verifiable? Are there alternative theories that I could put forward that are better than Jesus rose from the dead? And that's what we're going to think about for a little while this morning. It is ordinary milk, so if anyone wants to go and drink some more later, that's fine. Yeah, it was. Okay, so I'm going to read a few words, and then just for the few minutes we've got, we're going to think about them. They're words from 1 Corinthians 15, just a few. From a few of the verses there, it's page 1156, if you do have a church Bible, 1156. And we're going to specially think about verses 3 and 4, but I'm going to read a few more than that. Paul is writing to some Christians. It's probably one of, if not the first letter that was written. So it was written before Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were written. And Paul says to these Christians, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I have preached to you, which I received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So let's just think about those words that Paul uses. First of all, he says, Jesus died and was buried. Jesus died and was buried. I need a volunteer, someone who hasn't done anything so far. Volunteer, yes, Noah, that'll be fine. It only really works with one, really sorry. I'll get Emily for something else, if you remind me. So, what I want you to do is to lie down as dramatically as you want and to pretend to be dead. Oh, that's good. If you were up here, you could see the face and everything, that whole croaking kind of thing that you do. Now, it would be very, very sad if Noah really was dead. But if I bent down and poked him and he started moving, and then actually, if he got up and walked off and went back down to sit with his mum, what would you think? Would you think he was really dead?
No.
No, you wouldn't think he was really dead, would you? You'd think he was just pretending to be dead. You might have thought, if I hadn't have just told him to lie down, you might have thought, well, perhaps he just got knocked out. Something hit him and he got knocked out for a few minutes, went unconscious, which is a bit like being asleep, and then he woke up and he got up. That sometimes happens with people in a hospital, doesn't it? They can die sometimes for a few moments, and either by some remarkable thing happening or often by doctors or nurses helping them, they kind of bring them back to life again. People that seem they're dead, but they're not quite. There's still things going on, and they manage to recover. And we realize that they didn't really die. So when you're thinking about the pink milk, you're thinking alternatives to Graham's lie that he got the milk from a hippo. And you're thinking, well, maybe it is just milk that's been coloured. And maybe when you look at the death of Jesus, you might say, I don't think he really died. I think he either pretended to die or he was just knocked out for a few minutes. But then you ask, did anybody see him dead? Did anybody see Jesus dead?
No.
I think they did. Loads of people saw Jesus dead. And Matthew, in his story about Jesus, and Mark, and Luke, and John, and Paul, in the bit we just read, all verified that there were people who saw Jesus actually dead. He was badly beaten. He was put on a cross, which is one of the cruelest ways to be executed, to be put to death. Because that's how they killed really bad people at that time. And the soldiers who really knew about life and death, and they knew when someone was alive and when someone was dead, certified, said for sure that Jesus was actually dead. So the soldiers saw that Jesus was dead. The family and friends saw that Jesus was dead. If you were here on Good Friday morning, you'll realize that the soldiers and the Jewish leaders went to look at Jesus' body because they were going to kill him if he wasn't dead. But he was dead already. And they even put a spear in, and what came out kind of proved that his heart was no longer pumping. So he was absolutely 100% certified dead. And his death was confirmed by a burial. In a sense, he was dead already, but if he wasn't dead by then, certainly being carried and stuck in a tomb, having endured all that beating and all that cruelty, he would be dead by then. So that's the first thing. He died and he was buried. That's a fact. That's a fact that we can verify, that we can ask questions about and look into. The second thing, which I suppose is the harder thing for any of us to get our heads around, is that he rose to life again. He rose to life again. Well, what's the evidence for that? And what's the alternative theories? Well, the first bit of evidence is that the tomb was empty. So, children, Jesus has died. He's been put in a tomb, which is a cave, or a hole cut into a cave with a big stone over it. And the tomb's now empty. Now, if you were trying to think about alternative ideas, like about the milk, you know, did I do it myself? What would you say as an alternative idea? So, the tomb's empty. What could have happened? Anybody want to suggest anything? Yes. What could have happened?
He came alive again.
He could have come alive again. And of course, that's what we're talking about this morning. What else might have happened?
The Roman might have taken them.
Yeah, the Roman soldiers might have taken the body. Yep.
Someone might have stolen his body.
Someone else might have stolen his body. Yep.
He could have gone to heaven.
He could have gone to heaven. That's another good idea. Yeah. Thank you for waving at people. Got to change my shirt later now.
He could have teleported out.
He could have teleported out, but that's even more fantastical. But yes, that's always possible.
They could have thrown his body into the sea.
They could have thrown his body into the sea. I suppose they'd had to have stolen it first. Last one, you got an idea?
No.
Okay. Well, that's fine as well. Okay, last one.
He could have disintegrated.
He could have disintegrated, yeah. That's another good theory as well. Could have just, in the space of just 2 days, just gone to nothing. So there's this tomb in a cave with a large stone in front of it, a large heavy stone that a couple of women knew they couldn't move because it was so big and heavy. And it was guarded, in fact, by highly trained Roman soldiers. Because, you see, the enemies of Jesus thought perhaps the disciples would steal the body. And the tomb was empty. Lots of people, the women and the disciples, saw that the tomb was empty. Now, all those ideas you had, especially the sort of the normal ones, not the spectacular ones of going away and being captured by aliens or something, but the sort of normal life ones, lots and lots of people have thought about those and thought, are those reasonable things that might actually have happened? Was the body of Jesus stolen? Well, of course, the question is by who? And you've got three options. The disciples, well, why would they steal the body and then pretend he'd risen from the dead and that they'd seen him and end up being killed for what they said? So it doesn't make any sense that the disciples did it. But more than that, they had absolutely not a clue that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. They should have known, but they were completely distraught. In fact, most of them had run away from Jesus, hadn't they? So they were highly, highly, highly unlikely to want to steal the body. And even if they had stolen the body out of the tomb, when things got tough for them, they'd have soon said, yeah, it's a lie. Just like I did about the milk. Okay, so disciples didn't do it. The Romans didn't do it. Well, why would they? They never do stuff like that. And anyway, if they had done it, as soon as the disciples started saying that Jesus was risen from the dead, they'd have said, nah, we did it. Here's the body. And it's pretty much the same for the Jewish leaders, because they're the third people who could have stolen it. And the Jewish leaders could have stolen it for some reason or other, but pretty unlikely anyway, because they're the ones who actually put the guard in front of the tomb. So they're not going to put a guard in front of a tomb that they specially ask the Romans for, and then say, oh no, we're going to steal the body, but how are we going to get past the guards that we just put there? So it doesn't make any sense for the disciples, for the Jewish leaders to do it. But again, even if they had, as soon as Peter and John stand up and say, Jesus is risen from the dead, and it'd be a bit embarrassing because the Jewish leaders would say, no, he isn't. We've got him in this tomb over here. So really the only explanation for the empty tomb is that Jesus was alive and walked out of it. That's the only reasonable explanation for it. So there was the empty tomb, but also, and this is the real clincher for us, many people saw him alive. Now, Emily, do you want to come up the front here? You were volunteered by someone else just now. If you want to come up the front here, it's very easy. It's a very easy task. If you just want to come up the front here, and stand just here, where everybody can see you. Here you are, looking very nice on Easter Sunday morning. Now then, there's about 200 of you here. 200 of you saw that Emily was in church on Easter Sunday morning, was with the church on Easter Sunday morning. You can go and tell all your friends. I'm sure you're all going to be texting as soon as you leave this meeting to tell your friends that Emily was in the Easter Sunday morning service. You saw her. It wasn't just me that saw her. It's not even that she was in the congregation somewhere and you thought, oh, I don't know, was she there, was she not there? I thought I saw Ruth, but I'm not sure. And maybe Emma brought her, I don't know, I can't remember. But now, you all know she was here. Are you here?
Yeah.
I think you are. Thank you very much for being here. You can sit down now. Of course we can see you. Quite. Well, that's about 200 of us, but Paul says about 500 people. About 500 people, more than two times what's in this room here. Just picture two times this room plus a bit. That's how many people saw Jesus alive again. They saw him come back to life. And the Bible has lots of stories of Jesus' appearing. Lots of times that he saw people, sometimes the women knew him beforehand. Some people like Mary Magdalene, the bit we read in John chapter 20. Sometimes with some men and sometimes with groups of disciples. And there is a little video that I want to show now, if we can do that, which takes us through Jesus appearing to, it might be a couple of guys, or as the video shows, it might be a man and a woman. We're not actually told what gender they were, so let's have a little watch of this video. It's just 2 minutes. You can watch that again if you want. I'll put it on the link with the sermon when we put it up as well. But that's just a cool way of showing one of the times that Jesus appeared, this time to a couple of people who were traveling on the road. But there were lots of other times when he appeared. But what's interesting about that is what he talks about. And that's the last thing I want to say to you, which is that it was all part of God's plan. Jesus appeared to lots of people. He really was risen from the dead. And when he was talking with those two people, it wasn't just interesting because here's another time Jesus appears to people. That's pretty interesting. That helps us believe it's true. But it was interesting because he says, you should have worked it out anyway, because in what he calls the scriptures, all the Old Testament, as we call it now, was telling you that it was going to happen. It was all part of a plan. It was according to the scriptures. Everything that happened to Jesus, we were thinking about this a little bit on Good Friday, weren't we? Everything that happened to Jesus was written down in the Old Testament. It was told about before it happened. Hundreds of years before it happened, in some cases thousands of years before it actually happened. The birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, all spoken about it. And so when Jesus comes back to life, it all makes sense. The rest of the Bible all makes sense, and everything that Jesus had said made sense. Because Jesus made these amazing claims about himself. I am the Son of God. He talked about being in this amazing relationship with God the Father. And he talked about his mission, that he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And you couldn't really believe most of the things that Jesus said until he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Because he said he was going to die, and he did. And he said he was going to rise again, and he did. And so now you think, I think I believe you, Jesus, because you said what you were going to do, and then you did it. And also, the rest of the Bible was telling us what you were going to do, and then you did it. And loads of people saw you alive, so I know it's true. So I put all those things together, and I say, you must be the Son of God. You must be the person that you said you were. So according to the scriptures, and lastly, to pay for our sin. It was all part of God's plan. You see, it was death with a purpose. It was death with a purpose above all other purposes that there have ever been for deaths. Sometimes deaths are sacrificial. Again, we were thinking about that on Friday with that policeman in France. Sometimes people put themselves in the way of a bullet to save someone else. So sometimes death does have a sort of a purpose, but this death has a purpose that's beyond all purposes. Because you see, at the moment that Jesus hung on that wooden cross, as he bled, as he died, as he breathed his last, he was paying the price for all the wrong that I've ever done and ever will do. My sin, that little word we use for such a big thing, not wanting God to be the boss, my sin held him on the cross until all of God's wrath was finished, until he'd suffered everything that I deserve to suffer and that all his people deserve to suffer. And there came a point where he paid it all, where he paid everything that needed paying, and there was no more debt, and there was no more sin for me, and no more sin for his people. And he says, it's finished, it's over, it's paid, it's completed, it's cancelled. And then he gives up his life, and then he lies in a tomb. But because there's no more sin, he rises again, and he's alive. And he says to his people, do you want what I did for you on the cross? Do you want it? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want new life? Do you want to live with me forever? I can do that for you, and I proved it. So, of course, Easter Sunday changes everything. Yeah, I know for us church, it's kind of a funny time of year, and it doesn't have the same cultural connections as Christmas does. So it, in some ways, for church, it doesn't have the same appeal, Easter, but when you stop and think about it, it's the thing, isn't it? It's the thing. It's the thing that makes Christianity both credible and useful and real and amazing. Jesus died. Jesus rises again. We celebrate it on Easter Sunday. We celebrate it every Sunday. And the fact that Jesus rose from the dead changes absolutely everything. Children, adults here this morning, I tried to show you in a little way the evidence that Jesus really rose from the dead. There's the evidence of the empty tomb. There's the evidence that lots of people saw him. There's the evidence that his disciples kept on saying he's risen from the dead because they really believed it. There's the evidence that the church started because it was based on a true story. There's the evidence of all of the rest of the Bible talking about it. There's the evidence that it all makes sense. And I've tried to say a few of those things this morning. If you don't believe in Jesus, have a look at the evidence. What I've said this morning, perhaps what you want to look into for yourself. Have a look at the evidence, because it's all there showing you that Jesus really did die and Jesus really did rise from the dead. And it connects with all that he said. So have a look at the evidence. If you're not a believer this morning, if you wouldn't say, I'm a Christian following Christ, the question would be, with all this weight of evidence, why not? Well, you might say, well, it could be true, but I don't need him. And I just want to say to you lovingly this morning, yes, you do. You need him because you haven't lived your life to please God, and there's a penalty for that. But you need him to have the eternal life that you crave, to have the satisfaction that you crave. You need him, and he is there for you. And this Easter Sunday morning is a great time to say, Jesus, please forgive me by your death on the cross. Risen Jesus, please be in charge of my life. And whatever age you are this morning, you can say that prayer. Jesus, forgive me my sins, all the things I've done wrong, because you died for me. And Jesus, be the king of my life. Be the ruler of my life. I want to follow you. Easter Sunday, great time to become a Christian. And Christians this morning, this is the message. You see that the end of that video was just so cool, where the two guys who'd figured out, oh yeah, it's Jesus. What do they want to do? They wanted to run back to Jerusalem, get their shoes on, tie their laces, run back to Jerusalem and tell the good news. And I know it's hard, and I know there's all sorts of cultural things pushing against us, but look, Jesus is risen from the dead and it changes everything. And it should be the thing on our lips, in our hearts, all the time. Or what's the point? What's the point of coming to church if you don't think Jesus is risen from the dead? What's the point of all the effort of fellowshipping together if Jesus isn't risen from the dead? How many other jobs could you do this morning? But Jesus is risen from the dead. You believe that? So come on, let's live it, let's speak it, let's share it, let's sing it, let's love it. Because he's risen from the dead and we praise him for it. And if you've got any questions about what I've said, if you want to pray and ask Jesus to be in charge of your life, if you just want to say, that was encouraging, I need to follow Jesus, I need to believe it more, I need to live it more, then tell somebody about that, talk to me about that. But don't leave this place not challenged and encouraged and joyful that Jesus is risen from the dead.